The Green Bay Packers offseason program is now officially over, but where does the team stand? And have they improved over a season ago? We'll find out with Cheesehead TV's own Adam Check. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're talking about the end of minicamp and the end of the Packers offseason program in general. To do that, we have a guest joining us this morning. We have Cheesehead TV's own Adam Check joining us on the show today. Adam, how was your Father's Day?
It was good, Brian, and I must say that was quite the intro to the show you did there. I think you might have to try out for the WWF as a ring announcer. Very, very well done.
Well, thank you very much. I may just indeed do that. Maybe I'll be the next Michael Buffer or something like that.
Exactly.
All right, Adam, let's talk some Packers football here in your weekly Sunday column. So published yesterday, you listed your top five most important players to the Packers in 2016. Now, what I want to know from you, you kind of rattled off five players. Was that listed in order of importance? And what's your rationale for these five players? And I guess as you can explain, it kind of excluded Aaron Rodgers just kind of as a given.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't really put them in order. I just tried to come up with five players who I thought would be extra important to the Packers for the upcoming season. And of course, that list will probably change once training camp starts and players get injured and various other players are maybe showing signs of stepping up during practices. But it really wasn't in order. But to me, probably the biggest one, I think, might be Clay Matthews, just because he's moving back outside. And to be honest, I didn't really see much from him on the outside last year when he would rush from the edge. He seemed to get eaten up by larger offensive tackles fairly often. So I think him stepping up and kind of getting back to that form on the outside is going to be really important for the defense, because without Matthews, yes, they have Peppers, but he's coming up on 40 years old practically. And then they have Nick Perry there, who's not exactly the most reliable edge rusher. And then Dayton Jones is going to give it a try out there as well. So I think it's kind of up to Matthews to return to form there on the edge to really get this defense going again in 2016.
The pass rush, as it is to any team, is definitely important. So, Adam, just to change gears here a little bit, with the Packers tailgate tour underway, I want to know from you, have you ever attended a Packers tailgate tour stop?
I never have. You know, being stuck here in Minnesota, they're kind of it would be kind of a trek for me to go to one of the stops in Wisconsin. They seem interesting. You know, to be honest, though, I'm not really big on meeting players and getting autographs and things like that. But I do like hearing players talk football. So if they were telling football stories or telling old war stories from various games, I'd be interested in checking that out for sure. But as far as autographs and making awkward conversation when you're meeting a Packers player, you know, I'm not really into that. But talking football and hearing old stories, I'd be thrilled for that.
But if they were to go to Hudson, I mean, would that be close enough to get you out to go?
Hudson would work. Yeah, Hudson would be about a half hour away from me, so I could definitely do that.
Yeah, they try to hit different parts of the state. I know even a few times they've gone out of state, like the Upper Peninsula, and I think they've been to Dubuque in Iowa. So I know they tried to do those kind of things, get around the state every few years, different towns, different communities.
Yeah, unfortunately, here in the Twin Cities, they've built a wall to prevent Packers players from entering, I think. So yeah,
perhaps. Adam, Kenny Clark became the last Packers rookie to sign his contract late last week. What are your expectations for the Packers' first-round draft choice?
My expectations for rookie defensive linemen are always low. Seems like it takes a year or so for a rookie defensive lineman just to kind of figure out how much faster the game is and to deal with offensive linemen that are, you know, mammoth and can move and are really strong. But, you know, with Clark, I think he'll contribute. I don't think he'll contend for rookie of the year or anything, but I think he'll develop into a nice rotational player this first season. And then from there, who knows? You know, we'll have to see how he does in 2016 if he'll kind of develop beyond being a rotational piece that can maybe rush the passer a bit and plug some holes in the run game. But I would set my expectations from during his rookie season kind of mid-level, just hopefully he'll stay healthy and contribute and then grow from there, kind of like Mike Daniels did.
While we're on the topic of rookies here, apart from Kenny Clark, which Packers rookie do you think will have the biggest impact in 2016?
You know, that's a good question. I'm going to go with kind of the popular choice going right now in Blake Martinez. Mostly just because the inside linebacker situation is always so up in the air for the Packers. I think he'll get plenty of opportunities to actually play and contribute, whereas some of the other rookies might have to wait for an injury to get their turn or to get some playing time, whereas I think Martinez has plenty of chances to prove himself and maybe even grab a starting position. So I would go with Martinez, not because I think he's going to be this super great player, but I think he's have the chances to actually prove himself.
Yeah, it's an interesting question. I mean, if you take Kenny Clark out of the equation, well, I guess your attention goes to the second round draft choice, but I mean, it looks as if Jason Spriggs isn't going to play, assuming, you know, David Bakhtiari and Brian Bulaga are healthy. So who do you go with then? The one guy who might, you know, have a chance to play. It's an interesting debate, I think, if nothing else.
Yeah, you have to actually kind of hope that Spriggs doesn't play, because if he does play, it means that Bakhtiari and or Bulaga have gotten hurt or have for some reason not played well. So hopefully Spriggs can develop during practice, and then maybe next year after either Bulaga or Bakhtiari possibly departs the team, he'll be ready to go.
Yeah. We're talking to Adam Cech here at Railbird Central on a Monday morning here at Cheesehead TV. Adam, Mike McCarthy and coaches across the NFL addressed the possibility of going for two-point conversions more often. It was kind of a talking point across the NFL late last week. Where do you fall on this spectrum? Should teams go for two 100% of the time, or how do you decide when and when not to go for two?
The answer to that question is I have no idea, but I'm kind of a conservative guy, so if I was coaching, I'd probably just kick the extra point every time, just because that's my conservative nature. I'd take the basically free point and go for two only when I had to near the end of the game. Now, I know McCarthy said that, you know, he's all for going for two every time. Well, if that was the case, then why didn't he try for two against the Cardinals in the playoff game? That was kind of the time to do something like that, but he didn't do it. So, you know, we'll see what McCarthy actually does when it comes to two-point conversions this year. I think he'll just kind of do what he usually does and maybe go for two more often, but not that much often, but we'll see.
It's interesting. How much time was left on the clock in that Cardinals game when they scored the touchdown? I forget off the top of my head. Do you remember?
It was only a couple of seconds, I think, but I mean, there was such chaos going on. It was kind of like I don't know if Arizona would have been ready for a two-point conversion attempt, whereas Rodgers seemed kind of calm and kind of like he was ready for anything and could have added a play called and checked out the
the defense on a two-point conversion play, but it didn't happen, and the Packers lost.
I guess we'll just have to live with that anyway. But
exactly.
As we look to the future here, Adam, the Packers released their training camp schedule this past week, and despite having an extra preseason game this year, the Packers are actually practicing less than last year. Do you think this is the correct call, or is Mike McCarthy going soft on the players, you know, especially in light of giving veterans mini camp off last week? What do you think?
I don't know if I'd say he's going soft. That kind of sounds like a Skip Bayless kind of hot cake type of thing. But but again, I'm kind of a conservative old school guy, so I'm all about practicing more and tackling during practice and doing that kind of thing. But again, McCarthy's been around the Packers now for 10 years. He should know what he's doing when it comes to setting the practice schedule, and he has a much better finger on the pulse of his team than I do. But just speaking in general, I'm all for more practices, tackling during practice, that kind of thing. But that's really not the way of the NFL these days, and it's really not the way of Mike McCarthy either. So we'll see.
Just in terms of another training camp question here, the Packers have scheduled more night practices this year than they have in years past, or at least the past few years at least. Do you think this is the correct approach?
I think so. They seem to play several night games every season, and I think maybe just in terms of getting your body clock to be ready for night games versus noon games, I think practicing more at night is definitely a good call, because you know, these guys, they're on a set schedule during the season, and then often that'll get thrown off by night games. So, yeah, I think practicing more at night is a good thing, call.
Yeah, it seems as if exhibition games, the preseason, those are almost exclusively played at night as compared to the regular season when you have a lot more afternoon games. So,
yeah.
Just kind of getting the body clock ready is a little bit different.
Yeah, exactly. And in hearing some more athletes talk these days, they're really more in tune with their nutrition and sleep schedule and body clocks and all that. So I think the more McCarthy can practice at night and maybe get the Packers on somewhat of a idea of what to expect during those night game days, that's a good call on his part.
As we talk about more off-season topics here, the Hinterland Brewery broke ground last week as part of the Packers Titletown District. And I'm just curious, what are your impressions of the Titletown District, and what do you think its impact will be?
Anything that brings more beer to Wisconsin is a good thing in my book. But the Titletown District, looking at it from miles away here in the Twin Cities, it seems like a real cool thing. You know, any way that you can leverage the popularity of the Packers to bring in new businesses, new restaurants, new activities, new things to do for the town, that's a good thing. It'll bring more people to the area, hopefully, and maybe even create some jobs and some economic opportunity. And now I'm talking like a city planner, but just watching from a distance here, it seems real cool, and I'm going to check it out for sure next time I'm in Green Bay.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that this thing could be ready already by the beginning of the 2017 season. It feels like that's such a short time frame for building such big buildings, but it's exciting to think that that's in the Packers' near future.
Seems like they were just talking about it yesterday as kind of an idea, and now it's becoming reality. So
yeah.
Good for them.
Yeah, the breaking ground and the building is underway, so we'll see the progress this season. Adam, before we let you go, for those of you that don't know, Adam is undergoing a battle with cancer. Adam, can you give everyone a little update where you're at?
Well, it's a definite battle. I was diagnosed with for colon cancer back in early December, and I'm, you know, 34 years old with a wife and two kids, and it was like a major punch in the face. It's been a battle so far. There's been lots of downs. The last couple of CT scans I had, though, showed that the disease has stabilized, so that's a good thing. Right now, I'll be doing my 11th round of chemotherapy on Thursday, and we're exploring second opinions on possible surgery options. So we'll see what happens there. But it's been a battle. There's nothing fun about it. It really sucks, but I'm trying to keep my head up and stay positive and keep fighting this thing. And I just want to say real quickly thank you to all of the Packers fans out there in the Packers Twitter world and blogosphere for all the support. It sounds kind of corny, but really positive tweets of encouragement and comments on my Cheesehead TV posts really helps kind of boost my mood and keep my mind positive during this whole thing.
Well, from an outsider's perspective, you're kicking ass, Adam, and I hope you continue to do so. Thank you so much for joining us today, talking a little Packers football. I look forward to do this again sometime. Are any Twins game in your future covering for the Associated Press?
Yeah, I'm covering the Twins on Wednesday. I'm not sure who they're playing, but odds are they'll lose. If that's what the Twins do this year.
As a Packers or a Brewers fan, I'm happy to hear that, I guess. Not that there are different conferences now, but anyway, there are different leagues. Adam, again, thanks so much. Glad to talk to you, and we'll do it again sometime.
Thank you, Brian. Take care.
All right, take care. At Cheesehead TV's own Adam Check joining us here on a Monday morning at Railbird Central on Cheesehead TV. Glad to have him joining us. Glad to have you, the listener, join us as we continue on with the show. And I have no sound bites today, so Packers news of the day coming up. And something we just touched upon briefly with Adam before, and that's that on Friday. So since our last episode of Railbird Central, the Green Bay Packers announced Kenny Clark became the final of the team's draft picks to sign his contract. And I was going through looking for the rookie pool estimates and of course went to overthecap.com, which is a great resource if you don't know that. You're looking for contract information. That is one of my go-to sources. Them and Spot Tracker, both really good. But you know, as far as looking at the rookie pool and things like that, the rookie pool estimates at Over the Cap, they're exceedingly accurate, although maybe not exact down to the dollar, but regardless, they have Kenny Clark down as receiving a four-year deal worth $9.361 million, including a signing bonus worth a little over $5 million. Clark will have a salary cap figure of $1.702 million in 2016. And of course, the Packers will have a fifth-year option should they so decide to exercise it after Clark's third year in the NFL. So 3 years from now, they'll decide whether or not they will exercise that fifth-year option, just like they just recently, you know, declined to do on Dayton Jones and the year before that, Nick Perry. It's kind of interesting. The Packers have only had to do this twice now, and both times they've declined that fifth-year option on their first-round draft picks. We'll see what happens next with Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. He's setting himself up to be maybe the first Packers player to get the fifth-year option automatically. And it's kind of a little bit more solid and reliable player and a full-time starter ever since his rookie year in the NFL. So, I mean, definitely the 2016 season has to play itself out first. But anyway, I'm just kind of talking myself in circles here as went from Kenny Clark to Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. But anyway, just one thing I wanted to touch upon here. I had a couple people ask me on social media, you know, what took so long? Why was Kenny Clark not only the last Packers draft pick to sign, but one of the last in the entire NFL for that matter? There's only a few players who have not signed their contracts yet. And I think people are mainly just curious because they read in the media now that everything is cut and dried with rookies in the NFL and, you know, with the rookie pool in place and all that. So why did it take so long? Why did it take months to do? And to explain it here, I think there's a couple reasons. And number one, it just allowed the Packers to work on all the other draft picks they had first you know, just kind of get those out of the way, and they kind of knew, okay, we could save the first round draft pick for last. Let's just work on all the other guys, and that kind of, you know, just spaces things out a little bit. But above that and above all else, I think they just agreed to wait to negotiate until Clark was allowed back in Green Bay, because there was that period of about 3 weeks between the rookie orientation camp and then mini camp, so the 3 week of OTAs, where Clark, by rule, could not be at team facilities in Green Bay while the UCLA academic year was still in session, even though he was not a student. And yes, it's a very dumb rule, and I hope, one, the NFL fixes very promptly. It's just silly to me that he cannot be at team facilities when he's not even a student. Even if they are a student, I'm not even really sure this is the best rule. I mean, a guy like Kyle Murphy, I believe he really actually finished out his academic, you know, tenure at Stanford. And that's fine. I mean, I have nothing against that. If he missed this 3 weeks of the offseason program to get his diploma, so be it. I just don't think that the NFL needs this rule in place to prevent that. But anyway, you know, so I think, you know, they just agreed to wait. And even when Kenny Clark got back to Green Bay, they allowed him to focus on minicamp first. And so minicamp just being 3 days. And then once that was over, then they took care of the contract, knowing that even on the off chance that Kenny Clark got injured, it really didn't matter, because the parameters of the contract are in place, and the little bit of negotiating room is, you know, basically the only thing they had to do was with guaranteed money. That's like the one thing that there's wiggle room that players can negotiate the amount of guaranteed money they receive. And I'm sure that's what they were talking about as you know, in the days or the hours prior to signing the contract, just trying to figure that out. But anyway, there's your explanation. No, there's no big reason why it took so long or anything like that. But I just had a few people ask me that, and there's kind of your explanation why it took so long relative to other rookies in the NFL or the rest of the draft picks, things like that. So nothing really out of the ordinary there. But then if we go to the next segment, the day ahead in the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday and for the next few days, the Packers tailgate tour continues. It started on Friday, so it's been going on over the weekend. It's been traveling across the state of Wisconsin, strictly saying in the state of Wisconsin this year. I know they were in Fort Atkinson. I believe they were in Dodgeville. But anyway, today on Monday, they are at Black River Falls. The stop is at the Ho-Chunk Gaming Center. So that's happening on Monday. And then it concludes on Tuesday in Shawano at the Crawford Center. Just kind of some local facilities there. So the Packers doing their annual Goodwill Tour across the state of Wisconsin. It's a cool event. You know, if you want to see Packers players, get an autograph, things like that. You know, the players who are taking part this year, the current players, Jared Aberderis, the local boy, linebacker Sam Barrington, and outside linebacker Jayrone Elliott, are taking part in the tour. So those are the guys taking part as part of the bus tour across the state. The former Packers alumni taking part, safety Leroy Butler, wide receiver Robert Brooks, defensive end Sean Jones. These are the guys out there hitting the road, talking to Packers fans. So that continues along with Packers president Mark Murphy, as he does every year, goes on the tailgate tour. So that's what's happening right now. If you've checked one out or you are checking one out, have fun. Let us know. By all means, hit us up on social media and tell us how it was. But that's going on, you know, with practice now over. This is what's going on during this dead period here. as we getting closer to the 4th of July. It's like the deadest of dead periods in the NFL before, you know, allowing players to rest before they ramp up before training camp, really allowing everybody to rest, even the coaches and even the front office personnel. This is the time of year where they allow them to take vacation, because it doesn't really happen so much. You know, a popular vacation time is always around the holidays, right? People go somewhere during the holidays. Well, the NFL is in session then. Even the employees, even the non-players, they don't take vacations around the holidays. They got to be, maybe they can get a day off or something, but they're not going anywhere. This is the time of year when like every employee gets their vacation. If they need to take a week off, this is when it happens. So that's why things are so dead at this time of year in the NFL. But tell you the truth, though, there is one more thing happening this week. You're not really going to read about a whole much because the media isn't really allowed or at least not large amounts of media are allowed to be there. But this year, for the first time, the rookie transition program is taking place Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Green Bay. And if you haven't heard about this yet, this is replacing the old rookie symposium. It kind of is it's taking the place of it in terms of that they still wanted the rookie, the lessons learned in the rookie symposium to take place. But what they're not doing is sending every draft pick in the NFL to a centralized location. It used to be held in Ohio, kind of just like the one of the midpoints of the country, I guess. I suppose there's a better midpoints like, I don't know, Kansas or St. Louis or something. But regardless here, what they're doing is holding all 32 teams are holding their own rookie transition program. No practice taking place this week. This is where they're just teaching, you know, rookies, just teaching them about things other than football for the most part. You know, just how to handle your business, how to, you know, set your calendars and your, you know, deal with time, your time demands and deal with business and financials and how you invest your money and reminding them to stay out of trouble and perhaps giving them, you know, stories of people who, you know, didn't do cautionary tales, so to speak, of players that didn't stay out of trouble and then now regret it and things like that. This is what's taking place in 3 days here of the rookie transition program. Now that minicamp is over, they kind of, you know, let them focus on football up until the end of minicamp. Now they could just got a week. You know, all the veterans are out of Green Bay for the most part. I mean, they can stay and live Green Bay if they so choose. But like I said, this is vacation time. This is where they go back to their hometowns or, hey, if they want to get even out of the country or things like that, this is the time for them to do it before training camp starts. So a lot of the veterans are gone. It's just a week of the rookies at the team facilities, you know, just talking to the Packers front office and getting things in order and trying to get them acclimated and ready for the NFL, especially once, you know, once training camp starts. The momentum doesn't end until you're eliminated from the playoffs then. It really can, the time moves quick then, so they're trying to prepare them ahead of time and get them ready for all that they're about to encounter. So the rookie transition program happening today through Wednesday, and for the most part, like I said, this is happening behind closed doors at 1265 Lombardi Avenue. You're not going to see a ton of coverage about it this week. Maybe you'll see an article or two published somewhere. But, you know, this isn't a thing where, like, the media is allowed in or stuff on that unless they were to get special dispensation from the team or the league or something like that. So, but that is taking place. Just so letting you know what's happening in the world of the Green Bay Packers this week. So there you have it. And that'll do it for today's episode of Railbird Central. Thank you everybody so much for joining us here on a Monday morning. We'll be back again on Wednesday. In fact, already have our guest lined up for the show. We're going to have Packers author Jim Rice, the author of 3 books on the Green Bay Packers. We're going to talk to him during the offseason here, learn a little bit about the books he's published, and talk a little bit about the current Packers team as well. So that's taking place on Wednesday, so we'll see you then, as the show takes place every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, usually at 8:30 a.m. Central Time, the live edition of the show, podcast and on demand later in the day. My call to action, as always, as usual, if you've not done so already, please give us a rating and a review on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So the one small thing we ask in return, go to iTunes, search Cheesehead TV, it'll pop right up. Give us the 5-star rating and a brief little review. Doesn't have to be anything long. We greatly appreciate it. Until Wednesday, we'll see you, folks. Thanks to Adam Check for joining the show today. On behalf of everybody at Cheesehead TV, I'm Brian Caribou. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good day, and we'll see you just a few days from now. I leave you today with a song called So Far From Home by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack. Go.